Let us turn together to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 48, the last verse of this chapter. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. This verse contains one of the most challenging exhortations in the Scripture. The Savior says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This Greek word that is translated here, perfect, has the emphasis of complete. And so it can be applied to work done and completed, to growth that has taken place, to full stature, and to character. And our example is God Himself. So as we open up this subject of perfection, we look first of all at two examples of perfection. That is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. By referring to the Father as your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of our family identity as the sons of God. Every believer is adopted into the family of God. And we cannot escape the implicit challenge in this. We know that human sons are in the physical likeness of their father. And if he is a good man, they should aspire to follow his example. There is a great challenge, and it is this: to have God's image restored in us. You know that that was lost by Adam, who was in the beginning perfectly in the image of God. But you remember how he was told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But at the instigation of Eve, his wife, he did, and fell into this condition of sin that belongs to us all. And yet, to sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He speaks of believing sinners who have that relationship of children to a father. And he stirs us up to this great challenge to be more and more like God. God, who is infinitely perfect in both his character and in his works. We read in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. This description of God shows that we cannot have any complacency about the matter of holiness. If we are to be like our Heavenly Father, then we are urged on by the Lord Jesus Christ to that goal of perfection. God is not only perfect in His character and works, He's perfect in His ways. The psalmist says in Psalm 18 and 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." Perfect in His works, perfect in His ways, perfect in His word. Again, in Psalm 19 and 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So in every way, God is perfect. And in that most wonderful of ways, God is perfect in His love. He loves His children. It is a perfect love. Even in chastening times, we are not to imagine that God has ceased to love us. Howsoever difficult the time, whatsoever the temptations, the discouragements, the weaknesses that we experience, we are to remember that God is perfect in His love. This is what is in view here in Matthew. If we read the context here from verse 43 and following, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" And that brings us to our verse. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Have a completeness with respect to your love. Love your neighbor as yourself, whosoever it might be. Now this brings us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, is the eternal Son of God. And consequently, He has all of the infinite perfection of God. And that includes this most excellent love of which we have just spoken. Now, as the Word made flesh and dwelling among men, that is, as God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ has two natures, that of the divine and that of the human. And consequently, in Him, This true perfection of God is manifest in human character and dimensions. This is the perfection of God manifest in man, which had never been fully realized since Adam fell. But there in the Lord Jesus Christ we see this perfection, the perfection of God manifest in human nature, in human character, and in the dimensions that belong to human beings. Now, three passages in Hebrews shed light on this. The first is in Hebrews and chapter 2 and verse 10. There we see that in his life in this world, Jesus was perfect in his ways, in his works, and in his words. Just like God. Perfect in every respect. His ways, his works, his words were all based upon his love for his heavenly Father and his love for his earthly brethren. So here we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He would be a complete and all-sufficient Savior, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There's Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and following. Here we see that the sufferings of Christ, in consequence of faithfulness to his Father's will, were atoning sufferings as the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was suffering in the place of disobedient sinners such as we. And so we read here in Hebrews 5 and 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, how can one who is perfect in his divine nature and perfect in his human nature be made perfect? He is already perfect. But you see, the reference here is to the work which the Father had given him to do as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was to undergo these sufferings in this life, and particularly in his death, these atoning sufferings in the place and stead of others. And in these things he was faithful. He was put to the test and he did not fail. Though in Gethsemane, He felt in his whole being the weight of these things. His sweat was as drops of blood falling upon the ground. Yet notwithstanding, he prays, "Take this cup from me, yet nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect for us, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And there is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 and following. As Christ is perfect, so his work was perfect, and consequently he accomplished redemption for the unworthy. What we could not do for ourselves by way of works or achievements for the removal of our sin and for our acceptance with God was accomplished by Christ. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Redemption wonderfully accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we address the exhortations to perfection in the Scripture, we do so on the basis of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his perfection that counts. For our acceptance with God, for our justification with God, before God, justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the basis, and that is the ground upon which the Scriptures exhort us to perfection. And in speaking of exhortations to perfection, we recognize the difference between status and condition. Status has to do with how we stand before God. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand before God accepted through the imputed righteousness of Christ. We are clothed upon and fit for the presence of the Holy One of Israel, the infinitely righteous God. We are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, and adopted as God's sons. But our lives, our daily lives, should be consistent with this. Now we do believe in sinless perfection, but not here in this world. We do believe that when the Christian dies, the true Christian dies, he goes to be with Christ, which is far better, among the spirits of just men made perfect. We do believe that at the last day, when the resurrection of the just takes place, these very mortal bodies in which we appear here this evening will be raised again from the grave, incorruptible. So we believe there is a sinless perfection before us in the heavenly glory, because there will be no spot of sin or no stain of sin there. So David exclaims concerning the future glory in Psalm 17 and 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The perfection with which man was first created will be realized in that day, in both body and soul, in believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will be a confirmed perfection, whereby no loss of it ever can be contemplated. But in the meanwhile, we recognize only a relative perfection in our conduct. We need to press toward the mark. We need to endeavor, and by mortification of the deeds of the body and spiritual renewal, be progressing to this ultimate perfection. Job says in Job 9 and verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. But just because we are not there yet does not mean that we are not to strive to be more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact that we recognize only a relative perfection in our conduct must not be taken as an excuse for laxity concerning personal holiness. The scriptures are full of exhortations to perfection. And the standard, as our text shows, is true perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Here are some examples that we find in the Bible. First of all, in connection with worship, Israel was exhorted regarding their worship in Deuteronomy 18 and 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. We can say the same with regard to the things of this world, what we call wealth, possessions, money, and so on, these material things. The rich young ruler was exhorted in connection with wealth to mortify covetousness. Jesus says to him, this is Matthew 19:21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ was not suggesting some meritorious work here. It was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ saw the heart of the man and knew that he was addicted to the possessions of this world. This was the very thing that he needed to give up that he might follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the young man heard that saying, Matthew tells us, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. He had much to lose, but it would be no loss to possess Christ, to possess the pearl of great price, to possess the treasure hid in a field. And then there is that exhortation of the Apostle Paul to comprehensive holiness regarding our thoughts and words and deeds, our works, not for purposes of merit, but for purposes of thankful acknowledgement of God's mercy. And being his sons, to live as his sons. So in Romans 12 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The standard is perfect, and this must be our goal. Well, let us not be satisfied with anything less, but always pressing toward the mark, that we might be more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now this brings us to our third main consideration here, and this is the experience of perfection. And here are three things to bear in mind as we press towards the mark of ultimate comprehensive perfection. Three things here. The first is imputation. Perfection by imputation. That is the taking of a righteousness of another and placing it to our account. So in Colossians 1 and 27, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All begins with Christ for us, in his life and death, and particularly at the cross. He gives himself in our place instead. He takes the curse and punishment which is our due. He makes peace by the blood of his cross. It begins with Christ for us, and consequently it passes to Christ in us. Righteousness by imputation, his righteousness placed to the account of believers, is the guarantee of righteousness by impartation. Each one of Christ's will make it to ultimate perfection in him. There are no casualties among the true elect of God. There are none who are predestinated to a life eternal who will not be there in the great day, received by Christ and blessed forevermore. So there is this perfection by imputation. Christ's righteousness belongs to sinners who believe in him. And consequently, God sees such sinners in Christ. And consequently, he sees the sinner as being as perfect as Christ is for purposes of judicial acceptance. Wonderful truth. But there is also this perfection by impartation. For God the Holy Spirit continues the work of sanctification, encouraging us to persevere. Justification must come first. That acceptance with God on the basis of the righteousness of Christ. But you see, those who believe are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in order that they might make progress in holiness. And so we are encouraged to persevere. We press on toward the mark. It's a worthwhile enterprise. We are sure of success in connection with it. God will see it through to the end. So in Philippians 3 and 12, Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ has a purpose for my life, says Paul. Can you say that with Paul? Jesus Christ has a purpose for my life. He's laid hold upon me. And to what end? That I may come through this veil of tears to meet him face to face and be perfected in his image. So there is completeness because of godly endeavor in all things. Speaking about the Holy Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, the Apostle Paul deals not only with the nature of Scripture as given by inspiration of God himself through the Holy Spirit, but he also deals with the purpose of Holy Scripture. That by attendance to it, by reading of it, by hearing the exposition of it, we might make progress in holiness. That we might be fitted and equipped for the life of faith. And so Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. It's like putting on a suit of armor. All of the different parts, in order to be thoroughly equipped for the battle and ready for whatever comes. Now we know there is incompleteness because of our indwelling sin. James in chapter 3 and verse 2 can say, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." We're not perfect yet in that sense of every remnant of sin being removed. But always, always, there is hope of final perfection. We see with the psalmist in Psalm 138 and verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. We see our own weakness. We see our own helplessness. We see how by nature we are fatally wounded. But Christ, like the Good Samaritan, comes along and he pours oil into the wounds in order that we might be restored to full health and strength, perfect health and strength. We speak not merely with respect to the body, but also to the soul, through and through. No ailment remaining at all. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. So there is a perfection by imputation. Christ's righteousness placed to our account that we might be accepted by a holy God. There is this perfection by impartation. God the Holy Spirit working in us in this sanctification, as we call it, as the Scripture calls us. And there is a perfection by imitation. For imitation is a great help in learning. Our physical education teacher showed us how to perform the various exercises, and we followed his example. So in our text, the Master exhorts us to be followers and imitators. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We're assured that none of our godly endeavor is in vain. The end is good. The end of the perfect man is good. So in Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Just as it was with the Lord Jesus Christ, the truly and fully perfect man, despite all of the sufferings, the trials, the cruelty, the brutality, the end of that man is peace. With his Father in heaven, all glory. And so the wise man says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In Hebrews 12:22 we read, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And when we die, we shall be among them, perfected in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be diligent, energetic, persistent in pressing toward this mark. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect, says the Savior.